The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Reish Tesvav. In this year, we're going to cover three small simonim, actually four small simonim, that have to do with the laws of Avelis. The first one, Reish Tezvav, is entitled Shalola Hiskashois Al Hames Yosemidai. One should not berate themselves or hurt themselves. Hiskashois is a lashon of kosh, of hard. They should not mourn exceedingly Al Hames Yosemidai on the person that deceased, that died too much. Now the reason behind this concept is we find that the Torah tells us, Banim Hashem, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, that the Jewish people are considered Banim, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, and therefore, even in the time of tragedy, we have to control ourselves and realize that we don't have to despair, and something terrible happened, and we realize it's from Hashem, and we realize that we don't have to despair because Hashem is still with us, and therefore we don't have to totally lose ourselves. And while the Torah, on the one hand, wants us to mourn, it's a very healthy thing to mourn. It's the Gemara tells us mourning is kavod shel nes. It's the honor of the person that passed away. We appreciate the individuality of each person. And as Chazal tells us, that one of the reasons why we rip Kriya is because a person is like a Sefer Torah, is like a Torah scroll, and therefore that loss is a tremendous loss, and we need to feel that. And it's also Kvodei Shel Chaim, it's the honor of the living people, that the Torah recognizes our feelings and our loss, and all that's true. And also, Avelis is an idea of Tshuva. We're going to see here also a discussion that the fact that a calamity did befall us, obviously nothing comes without a reason, and there is an idea that we should look into our ways and do tshuva, and that's also an aspect of Avelis. But at the same time, we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have Hashem to rely on, and as the pasuk, as the verse says in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, "Gam ki elech begeitz hamavis," even if he goes in the shadow of death, "Lo irara," I will not fear bad, "Ki ati madi," because you're with us, "Shivtecha umishantecha hemi nachamuni," "Shivtecha" is your stick of retribution, of punishment, "umishantecha" is a supporting stick, and that will console me. And I once heard from Rav Scheinberg, Zecharon Livracha, this point, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives shivtecha, he gives his stick, he gives his punishment, so at the same time he provides a mishantecha, he provides something to lean on, and therefore, even when a person's in a time of mourning, in a time of pain and of loss, they have to realize that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is still there for them and still helping them. And many times we see in history that things happen, tragedies happen, and sort of right after the tragedy, there's a tremendous blossoming of good. And these things have been looked at by Gedolim to say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes something away, but at the same time, he gives something back. So that's a little bit of the background of the ideas behind the siman, that we mourn a loss, and at the same time, we can't get carried away with the mourning, and like that we find the Torah a prohibition to mutilate oneself, because that was a custom that out of a sign of mourning, in those cultures they would do that, and still today there are places that do it, and that's again to show that we're not going to lose ourselves even in the time of mourning. Now let's learn the kids are inside. Ein miskashin al hames yosemidai. One does not mourn, grieve over the loss of a person too much. Shenemar, as the verse says in Yirmiyah, Al tivku lemeis val tonuduloi, don't cry for the dead, and don't put yourself in like excommunication and in solitary confinement for him. V'amru chachamenu zecharon levracha, and the Gemara tells us, the rabbis tell us in tractate Moed Katan, v'chi afshar loymer kein. How could it be that the pasuk in Yirmiyah, how could it be that the prophet in Yirmiyah is telling us not to cry on a person that passed away? That's a natural reaction. That's a healthy reaction. El al tivku lemeis yoyser midai. So Chazal teaches that when when the Navi says, don't cry on the deceased, it means not to cry too much. Val tonudu bai yoisu mikashir, and don't put yourself in isolation more than the proper amount. Hoketzad. So says the Gemara, says the Talmud, what's the definition of that? So says the following, shloisha yamim lebechia, 3 days for crying. So the first 3 days of Avelis is very intense, and that's why, as we mentioned before, the custom is that strangers or other people don't necessarily go and try to console the mourner, do Nichum Avelim during those first 3 days, because that's the time of crying, just raw emotion. Shiva, the next period of time until the end of the week, Lehesped, that's to eulogize, Uleshleishim. Legiots, lots of spires, and till 30 days is to do things of beautification, of pressing the clothing, of taking a haircut. So basically there's 3 stages of avelus, of mourning. There's the first 3 days, which is the time of raw emotion, of crying. There's the next 4 days till the end of the seven, which is a time of hesped, of eulogizing, of bringing out the loss. And then until shleishim is the idea that one does not get involved in taking care of themselves so much, and they don't do things like pressing their clothing and taking a haircut. But after that, says the Gemara, beautiful Gemara, Mikan va'elech, from here and further, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, I'atem rashoyim l'rachem olav yosimene, you cannot have more mercy on the person that passed away than myself. Meaning to say, Hashem is telling a person that you're mourning for the person's loss, that you're so sorry for the person that they passed away. Don't be more merciful than me, God, who is the epitome of mercy, and He took and made the decision to take the person away. So the point is that for the first 30 days, a person has a right to show that despair and that emotion, but it comes to a point that a person has to realize that everything is for the good, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His compassion, did what He did. The Kitzur continues. And again, our sages teach, one who mourns exceedingly on the one that passed away, he will cause, heaven forbid, another tragedy. Now, I'd like to bring out the concept perhaps behind this, which is the verse in Tehillim says that Hashem wants those that are miyachlim l'chazda, those that await his chesed, his kindness. And the point is that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God, besides realizing that Hashem is all-powerful and is the creator and sustainer of mankind, there's a softer point, that Hashem wants us to have a relationship with Him. Hashem wants us to trust Him. Hashem wants us to expect good from Him, just like a father to a son, just like a parent to a child. So therefore, if we choose to have a relationship where we're optimistic about things because we realize that we have a relationship with Hashem, then Hashem will reciprocate. Whereas if we're pessimistic about that relationship, if the person gets totally carried with the mourning, so then, heaven forbid, that could be a reason why they could have another loss. There's another beautiful chazal about trust in Hashem, about Amunah, that it says, if you show God a finger, He shows you a finger. If you show Him my hand, He shows you a hand. Meaning to say, again, that our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the level of Hashgacha Pratis, of personal sort of touch and being scrutinizing and looking after us on a personal level, has to do with how much we recognize Hashem in our own lives, and therefore Chazal are telling us here that if a person gets carried away at the mourning and they forget that Hashem is looking after them, then heaven forbid that could be a reason that they would have to mourn again. The Medvar Mamurim, says the Gemara, when is this concept of not getting carried away in the mourning? Bishar Ha'om, with an average person, Aval Talmud Chacham, but a great Torah scholar, Hakol Afi Chachmasai, it goes according to his wisdom. Umikol Makom, nonetheless, Ein Baichan Olav Yaiser Mishloishim Yain, one does not cry for more than 30 days to the other, Moshe Rabbeinu, because we can't be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses, Olav HaShalom, Dechsibai, as the verse says about him, V'yivku es Moshe Shloshim Yayim. So if they only cried for 30 days for Moshe Rabbeinu, then obviously for someone else, you can't do the same. Now, I'd like to share with you a thought. Perhaps why is the Talmud Chacham different? In other words, we could say the same argument that Hashem took him away, he took him away. I recently saw a beautiful shmooze, a beautiful talk from Rav Shlomo Volbo Zatzal, one of the great Balei Musar, and he brings a very interesting chazal. He brings a chazal that says that until the Rebbe, until the teacher passes away, that a person doesn't delve into the depths of the knowledge, of the wisdom of the Rebbe, of the teacher. I mean, to say, as long as the Rebbe is here, so a person says, if I have a question, I can ask him. But once the Rebbe passes away, so you realize you can't ask him, so all of a sudden you have to start really understanding the Rebbe's Torah, because before you didn't have to understand, you could just always ask, but now you have to understand. So, and what he brings out is a fascinating point, which is that the way Torah becomes solidified in the students of a great teacher is when the great teacher is not here anymore, and they have to sort of do it on their own. That's when they really can solidify the appreciation and of the Torah of the Rebbe and really delve into the depths of it. So possibly the idea of focusing on the loss of a Talmud Chacham is for this very reason, because when a regular person passes away, so the question is, life has to move on without them, and we have to mourn that. But on the other hand, life has to move on. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, a great person, their legacy, their Torah is something that can't be forgotten. It's something that now is the time to realize the loss and to realize what we've learned from them, and then to make that part of us, because that's really the beginning of really of taking that legacy further. Now the Kitzur continues in Sif Beis. Omer Rabbi Sinai Zuchem Levracha, the Gemara, Chazal tell us in Tractate Shabbos, if one of a family passes away, the whole family should be worried, they should be concerned. And this is, again, another aspect of Avelos of mourning, which is the tshuva aspect, that if a tragedy happens to a family, then obviously Hashem is looking at them and wants something from them, and therefore there's what to be concerned about, and they should do tshuva, they should look into their ways and see what they can correct. Mashal Ma'adav Adaymer, what is this a comparison to? Parable, Lekipo Shel Avonim, that like a dome of stones, so Kivon Shedazazeh Echad Mehem, if one of those stones starts shaking, and the way that dome-shaped structure is that where every stone holds the other one in place, and you take out one, the whole thing falls. So if one's starting to shake, if one person in the family passes away, something bad happens, so therefore everyone else has to be concerned as well. Just as if one stone in that dome starts to come out, then the whole dome is in danger. Kivon shenizdazeh achas mehem, if one shakes, nizdazeh kulam, all of them start shaking as well. Kalayma shemidas hadin mesucha kenegdam. We see that the midah of din, the attribute of judgment, is upon them. Achet tisrapa ma'at ma'at, until it calms down, until we move further away from the time where the person was taken, and therefore we see that the judgment of Hashem has calmed down. Kikol shiva acher shlufa, that during the 7 days it's as if the sword is drawn. Vashloshim he reifefes, and in until 30 days it's maybe not actually drawn, but it's still around, it's still shaking. Ve'inu chayzeres l'tara, and the sword doesn't go back into the sheath. Had achash nemas achaydish, until the end of 12 years. Lefichach, therefore, Shlosh Yom Rishonim, the first 3 days, Yir HaAvel as Atzma Kilu Cherv Munach HaSlebing Seifav, the Avel should look at himself as if the sword is in between his shoulders. And again, the idea is that it's idea of tshuva, of repentance, of thinking about what Hashem wants from a person. Obviously, it's not the fear itself, but Hashem wants something positive from a person. Mishloi Shabbat Shiva, until the end of the 7 days. Kilo Zekuva connected to Bekaran Zavis, as if it's standing up in a corner. Mishavat Shloishim, for the duration of the 30-day period. Kilo Verslafon Abashuk, as if it's passing by in front of him. So this is the idea, basically, that the mourner should realize that if a tragedy befell him, that there is some Hashem, there's a calling for him, so there's something Hashem wants from him, and therefore he should take it seriously. V'achakach kol osa shana adayin midas hadin mesucha negad ha'isa mishpacha, and for the duration of the year, the attribute of judgment is still out, so to speak, against this family. V'imnoyle ben zachar b'ayis mishpacha, says the Chazal, that if a male child was born, so again, there was a sign of blessing. Nisrapa kol mishpacha, it means to say that midas hadin, that judgment was taken off. V'dafka zachar, and it's the significance of a male child, because there's an idea, the zachar bala olam, that when a male comes to the world, shalom bala olam, it brings peace. So that's a symbol of peace. So therefore, again, we see that there's something, there's a midas hadin, there's an attribute of judgment against the family. These are obviously esoteric ideas, but there's a simple idea here that we should understand, that there's an idea of tshuva, that Hashem definitely wants something from us when these things happen. And when a male child is born, that's a symbol of peace, and therefore it's a good sign. V'chein echad me'chabur shemeis, also if a person has a close-knit group of people, and one of them passes away, midas hadin mesucha, keneged kol chabura, that the attribute of judgment is out against the whole group. V'idagu kulum, and all should be concerned, and again, what it means is a constructive fear, a fear to make ourselves better, and see how we can correct our ways. Siv gimel. Kol mi she'enam is abol k'mashitzi v'chacham. One who does not observe mourning, like the Chacham say, Hariza Achzer, he is mean or cruel. Now, why is he cruel? So it seems he's cruel because there's a message there that Hashem wants him to learn and to understand, and therefore he's not taking that message, and therefore he's putting other people in danger. Perhaps that's the reason why he's cruel, or he's cruel perhaps because he doesn't feel the loss of the person. V'loi yeyer mishnasay. Ella. So what is the proper response? And this is where we see really explicitly the idea of doing tshuva. He should wake up from his slumber, and he should have fear, and worry, and what is that again constructive? That he should look into his ways, and go and come in repentance. Perhaps he will be saved from the sword of the angel of death. As the verse says in Yirmiyah, he kisa oisam v'loicholu, that he hit them and they didn't wake up. Michal tzarech l'hokitz. It's a lesson for us that one should wake up and v'locho v'lachza b'tshuva, and come back in repentance. So this is a beautiful siman where it gives us not so much, not only the halachic idea of becoming carried away in the morning, but as well as the idea of hashkafa, of perspective, how avelus is a time of tshuva, is a time of repentance, and we have to take that message. Simon Reish Tez Zayin. Reish Tez Zayin returns to different laws and avelos. Din Miktas Yom HaShvi. We know that in different areas of halacha, sometimes we need a full day, sometimes we need only a partial day. So when it comes to the seventh day of mourning, we don't observe a full day, we just observe a partial day. So this is going to discuss this concept. Miktas Yom Shloshim, also a partial day of the 30th day, V'din Shnei Masar Chodesh. And what about when the 12-month period commences? How does that work? Do you need a full day or not a full day? Siv Aleph. B'yom HaShvi, on the seventh day of mourning, La'acha Sheholchu HaMenachem in Ovel. So usually the custom is that they'll daven Shachar, the morning prayers over there. So after the mourners leave, Mutar B'chol Advarim Shehoy Osir Toich Shiva, all the restrictions are taken off. So they have a custom that they go on a little walk around the house, get out a little bit, and that's again showing that the time of mourning is over, and they're permitted in doing the things that would otherwise be restricted on a mourner. The Amrinan Miktas Hayyan Kekuloi, because there's a concept, at least in these laws, that a portion of the day is enough, and therefore he doesn't have to keep a full day. Chutz Mitashar Shamita, except for marital relations, Sha'asur Kol Hayyam, that's prohibited, Afil Beveis Afil, even in a way that it would be permitted, technically, which would be in a dark room, which that wouldn't be an issue of tznias, of modesty, but nonetheless, because of avails, because of mourning, it's still not permitted. Everything else is, but not this. Medina's Elu, and in these countries, so again, I believe the prevalent custom here in America is that, again, they daven shachris, they daven in the morning at the home of the mourner, and they menachem him, and then they escort him out, and that's where it concludes. Now, in the kids are describing when they wouldn't do that, they wouldn't show up at all on the seventh day. They don't even come on the seventh day, so what do you do? You know, there's no way of showing that you mourn some, and now you're stopping. So then you wait until, say, normally they start coming at 8 o'clock in the morning. So then after 8 o'clock, you could get up, If it's 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, because the point is that you have to observe part of the day. So what's part of the day? So what part of the day would be that to sit until the time after they would begin coming. That'll be after, say, they people leave shul, because that would be the normal time when people would start coming to console. It'll be after davening. And also, if the seventh day fell on Shabbos, also after people leave shul on Shabbos, which would be significantly later than during the week, then he'd be mutter b'talmud Torah. He could resume his regular learning, which would be otherwise prohibited. Now, there is a little bit of a discussion here because does it go? I know when it comes to Shabbos, does it go when people actually leave shul or when they technically could daven? Meaning to say that if they don't daven until 9 o'clock and they don't finish davening until 12:30, do you have to wait until then? So I believe, so according to the Kitzur team, you would have to. I believe, according to some opinions, as long as you wait the time that they could daven, let's say Vasikin is 6:30, and then by 9 o'clock they could be finished, that would also be enough. Sif Beis. The Yom Shloishim. Now, what about the 30th day? The end of the 30-day period of mourning. Gamkin makes the same kekulai. We also apply this concept that you don't need a full day. Part of the day is enough. Kiven sha'az ein boin menachem, because no one comes. So therefore we don't have the issue that you have to show some sort of mourning. L'chein tegev kishetone tzachama, when the sun comes up. Talking about Nate, that's when it actually comes up, not just when the light is seen, but then it finishes. What happens if it comes out on Shabbos? Then one could already wash themselves with warm water for the honor of Shabbos. For loivish big Shabbos, and could wear big Shabbos, and they could go back to the place in shul. Also big iluach, but shaving they should not do the chamer tvei because it is more. Is more stringent. Now, what about the 12-year period waiting after a parent? So this is different. That we say we do not say a part of a day is like a full day. And the custom is they even count the day of the yard site of the anniversary of the death, which is really after the 12 months because it just finished. They keep those halachas until after the yard site. Even if it happened on Shabbos. But if it was a leap year, so therefore there's an extra month, the custom is only to keep 12 months, because 12 months is how long a person remembers that a person passed away, and after that it's nishtakach minalev, it's not as strong the feelings. So it's 12 months, and so even though the year has 13 months, they don't have to wait 13 months. And since it already stopped, then obviously when a month later, when it will be the anniversary of the death, then he doesn't have to do anything. He is not going to have laws of avelus because it was only an extension of the period of mourning, but it wouldn't create a new day of mourning. So this is again the concept of mixas and kekulai, that when it comes to the shiva and the shloishim, the 7 and the 30-day periods, we do say part of a day is good. When it comes to the year, we do not say that. Simen reish yud zayin. Din mi shalei nag avelus. What about if a person did not observe avelus? Sif aleph. Avol shalei nag avelus be teich shiva. What if the mourner, for whatever reason, did not observe the laws of mourning? Say they were in a situation where they couldn't. They were ill. They were in the army, on the front lines, whatever it would be. They be showing him amazed, whether it's intentional or not intentional. As long as they're within the 30-day period, they could still do it, because again, within 30 days, there's still a rawness of the feelings, and it's possible to sit shiva. Chutz min kriya, but not except for the kriya, except for the ripping of the clothing. Shim lekar b'shas chimum, because if they didn't rip at the time of they heard the laws, ain't a kari ella b'soich shiva d'chashim shaschim. Once they knew about it, and it passed 7 days, and you cannot rip. If they didn't know about it, and it's within 30 days, and they could, but this is where they did know about it, and therefore they only have 7 days. But as we learned earlier, on a parent, one always does Kriya. So the bottom line is that if it's within the 30 days, one could observe the Shiva. As far as Kriya, if one knew about it right away, then only within 7 days. Siv Beis. Kodin Shemes Lemes. A minor that a relative passed away, Afil Higdil Toich HaShiva, even if he became a bar mitzvah within the 7 days of mourning, given Shabbashas Nisa Yapater, because at the time of death, when the obligation arose, he was not obligated. Basalimenu called an Avelus, he does not have the concept of mourning. And as we mentioned earlier, it's interesting that it seems in the laws of mourning, for various reasons, there is not a chiyuv chinuch, there is not an obligation of education. So therefore, we wouldn't say that he was obligated before because of chinuch. But as far as observing the 12-month period for a parent, there is a different reason, not only the obligation of mourning, but the idea of honoring the parent, because out of respect, that should be observed. What about a person who's ill, and they find out that a relative passed away, then they should mourn for them. But because they're in such a state, they can't really observe the Shiva properly. The person got well within the 7 days, that he only completes the rest of the days, he completes the end of them. Says the Kitzur, this is the opinion of the Kitzur, there's actually a discussion about this, but the opinion of the Kitzur, and it's very often quoted this opinion, that the Kitzur says that if the person knew and was aware that the relative passed away, but wasn't able to sit Shiva because they weren't well, and halfway through the Shiva, let's say they got better, then they just have to count the remaining days, or the remaining days of the Shloshim of the 30-day period. Now the reason for it is, because unlike the first case you mentioned, even a person who's sick, they must have at least done some action to show mourning according to their situation. We don't expect a person that's sick in bed to be sitting on the floor. But if they avoided doing certain things, playing music or doing different things, so that's enough in their situation to be considered that they observed avelus. Mishum da'azna gamkein makes avelus because they did observe somewhat. V'daim l'shabbos. And it's similar to Shabbos, the Oyla, the Enam Afsekes, that we say that Shabbos, since one cannot do outward signs of avails, if one does what's required of them on Shabbos, to abstain from relations, then that's enough to be considered that we can count the day. V'chein ha-yeledes, and also a woman who gave birth, the same issue, gamkin ain't a tzuchel ha-hashlem ha-yom, she'arvel alav b'lei dos, so she doesn't have to repeat those days when she was involved in childbirth, that she just finishes up. There is an opinion that says otherwise, that since they didn't observe the laws of avails properly, they have to repeat the whole thing. But I believe many go with the opinion of the Kitzur, as we just saw here. Simon Reish Yud Ches, Din Eidus LaVeilus, how do we verify that someone passed away? Again, in those days, it would be through a letter or some way that a person finds out, which may not be so reliable, so we're going to learn about this in this sif. This ablun al pi eid echon, that one could sit Shiva, one has an obligation to mourn, even if a single witness tells them that their relative passed away, v'ein pi eid, even a witness from a witness, ubenachem mesich levitumai, even from a non-Jew, someone who's not reliable, if it's mesich levitumai, if they don't know that you're asking, they simply tell you just without being solicited, they tell you. So these are types of information where it's not a full type of testimony that we find in the Torah when a person wants to go to Bezin, go to rabbinic court and give testimony. It's not that level, but it's something reliable. It's one witness, or even a witness from a witness, or a non-Jew who says without being solicited, so he doesn't have reason to lie. This, for the laws of mourning, is enough. Beis, Misha Kibli Gerah Shemes Krev. If a person received a letter saying, that was a very common thing in those days, that informing them that a relative passed away. The aim of war boim hodayin toich shloshim alayha shloshim. The person doesn't say exactly when the relative passed away. So the kid says the following idea: mekaisiv ein abal tayr. If the person who wrote the letter is not knowledgeable in Torah, mokminin laadam chaskas chai. So we assume a person is living until proven otherwise, so we assume that until the soonest, closest possible day, the person was alive. So the letter must have been written at the latest date possible, So if the letter, say, is from a week ago, so probably pretty soon before that, the person must have passed away. V'chayv l'sa'abel, and since it's within 30 days, one is obligated to mourn. Aval im ha'koyziv u'bal taira, but if a person's knowledgeable, and he knows the halacha is, we mentioned before, that generally speaking, we don't like to tell someone about the fact that the relative passed away, because you don't want to obligate them to have to sit shiva. That was an idea that we mentioned before. So therefore, he probably waited. Amrina mistama hu la'acha shleishim, because the person probably waited until after 30 days. If it was possible, he wouldn't have just written it. Achim haya of the imai. But if it was a parent, so then there's this a custom to say kaddish and do all these things. Kivan shaminag hu loydia miyad, since the custom is to tell him right away, chayvus abel, he has to mourn. Now the Sefer Sharm Mesiyon Balacha talks about what about relying on a telegraph, or maybe today an email or something like that. But the bottom line is that he says is with a telegraph is that they would that. You know, if it's from someone who's reliable, so because they're obviously regulated and they don't want to, and they're going to have issues if they start making up telegraphs, so we can rely on it, just like we rely on the testimony of a non-Jewish court, because again, they have to, you know, if they're going to make things up, they're going to be punished. So the same thing with that. So if it's a situation where it's an official document where they would have a reason not to lie because they would ruin their reputation or be subject to some penalty, like a hospital record or a death certificate, so then all those things could be relied upon.